GAA on Off the Ball. Tommy Welch is on the line. Hello, sir.
Good evening, Joe.
Ah, geez, the sun's out. Tommy Welch is on Talking Hurling. These are magical times.
Great days.
How's the form? You well?
Yeah, good, Joe. Now we're just getting back into it. I suppose all clubs going back training now over the last few weeks. So back to normality now. To stay away from the sweets at 9, 10 o'clock in the night.
Is that when that's when the hankering hits you, around 9, 10 o'clock at night when you're sitting on the couch?
That's it, yeah. I usually have the dinner around 6:30 or that, so about 9, 10 o'clock, that's when the temptations kick in.
It's a tough time. It is a tough time. You've got a couple of photos there behind you. The radio listeners won't be able to see them, obviously, but anyone looking on will be. What are they?
Yeah, so just, I suppose, three photos. The top photo you can see, UCC Fitzgibbon Cup champions. So last weekend, UCC became champions again for the first time since 2013. But I suppose what's very interesting here is, like, Cork were going through a bit of a slump at the start of the league. They're now after picking up two wins on the trot. But they have a huge number of players to come back from the Fitzgibbon Cup champions, UCC. They've Dara Fitzgibbon, they've Mark Coleman, and they have Shane Kingston, who I seen in the semi-final of the Fitzgibbon Cup. Now, they won the Fitzgibbon Cup quite handsomely in the end against a very good LIT team managed by Jamie Wall. But in the semi-final, they were playing a star-studded DCU team, Joe. And it was a brilliant, brilliant game. I was down at it in WIT one of the evenings there about 2 weeks ago. And they got a last-minute penalty. So I think they were deep in injury time, won a penalty really against the... you know, against the debt, and buried the penalty and went on and won that, and were probably lucky to get over the line, you know, got a bit of luck with a few decisions at the end and then became champions. And, you know, maybe the look is changing for Cork, and maybe this could be a sign of the times for them going forward.
Yeah, well, speaking of Cork for a moment then, seeing as you've brought them up, I did see Patrick Horgan after the Limerick game, and it's indicative of the sense they obviously have. He said, sure, 2 weeks ago people thought we were finished, saying we'll win nothing, we won't win any games. This is what he was saying to the Irish Examiner. Things have turned now, all of a sudden people are impressed. That has the smell of a siege mentality if ever I heard one down in Cork.
It is, and you know, what better way than a few pundits to write you off, because you can chat about it. I know Dave McIntyre doesn't really, from chatting to him, believe how significant it can be, like pundits and media going against you, but from experiencing it, in a dressing room, anyone saying anything against your team can definitely be used in a positive way, as long as you're not using it in a negative way and letting it kind of become us against the world, where you're thinking too much about it. But definitely in a light kind of hearted way, you can definitely get guys really kind of psyched up and really focused, and really, I suppose, that 2 or 3 weeks leading up to a big game, especially if you're the underdogs or if you're going through a bit of bad form, you can use them pundits and you can use the media to your advantage.
They had a great win. I mean, they beat the All-Ireland champions at the Gaelic Grounds by 3 points. It was 221 to 121 in the end. John Kiley said, we knew ourselves we weren't at the level. We'll take our medicine. He said, we always knew we weren't going to win every single game. You can't. It's just not possible, was the Limerick sense of things. What did you make of this game?
Yeah, well, the way I look at it for John Kiley, it's definitely a blessing in disguise. He look up at that big sky, I think, after that match and just say, thanks be to God, because you couldn't keep going the way they were going and expect to do that, especially with the current format of the championship. Do it all throughout the league, then do it all throughout the championship. They're not in Division 1B anymore, Joe. So the spotlight is on them all the time. That brings its own pressures, its own intensity. Everybody is now talking about you. You're playing in front of big crowds every Sunday. So it's not a novelty anymore when it came to the big championship games for them last year. Now they're playing in front of big crowds, 10, 15,000 every Sunday. So you can't keep that going, in my opinion, for the whole day, for the whole year, and playing at your absolute peak, which they were. So I think this is definitely going to work in their favour. I don't think, Joe, anyway, this league, you can judge anything by results. It's all about finding players. Yeah. It's all about finding a form in certain players. I don't think, if you look at any of the games, sure, anybody can beat anyone. Depends on who puts out what team on any given day as well.
It is an issue with the league. And maybe particularly so this year. Have you noticed any effect in the change in the league format that it might be having on the competition in comparison with years gone by? Is it even more experimental?
Well, you see, we're judging it versus the league of the last probably 3-4 years. I think it was in that format of the relegation, the promotion. Yeah. But before that, it was like it was now. where you have big games, but the intensity isn't there, which I think is vital because you're trying to bring forward players 18, 19, 20 years of age. You're trying to give lads chances. Towards the last 3 or 4 years, it was very difficult to do that. Mm. You nearly had to play your best players in your best team all along. Towards now, you can try out things, try out different tactics, try out different players. And I, from being at a lot of games last year, Joe, I even felt as a supporter, you're nearly burnt out. You had all these 5-6 high-intensity league games. Follow that on with 4 or 5 high-intensity round-robin games in the championship. And you were nearly, it was nearly too much. So now...
Your nerves were shredded. Maybe that's just you. Maybe you're getting too involved in these games. You're too emotional. I was enjoying them.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. But like you were looking at it as, from a neutral point of view, Joe. But most people will be going, they'll be cheering on, you know, their home supporters. Any of the counties will say, them 10 counties that are in the championship.
You see, ironically, most of us are neutrals when it comes to hurling. It's only 5 or 6 counties that get to play it properly.
Yeah, well, listen. you have me on that one, Joe.
But anyway, your point is, I'm sensing that it was almost too intense, the league. It didn't allow management the opportunity to properly blood players because there was the threat of relegation hanging over a lot of sides.
Exactly. And if you, I suppose, anyone looking at the Premier League, they will argue, well, how can these guys do it for 34, 35, 36 games in a season? How is he can't do it? But you have to look at the GA. GA is unique, right? The same guys that are going to the senior inter-county games of a Sunday, they're going to the club under 14 games. They're going to the club under 21 games. They're going to the hurling, the football. They're immersed, their whole lives are immersed in it. For most people that are involved in the hurling counties. And so you just can't keep it all going. It's not as if they go to work Monday to Friday and possibly a half day Saturday and then everything revolves around the game on Sunday. That doesn't happen. You have training Monday, training Tuesday, maybe a minor game on Wednesday, training again Friday and the match Sunday. So, yeah, I think it definitely has diluted the intensity of it and possibly the competitiveness of it. But it's not all about results. But what I would say, it is about players. And we're after seeing, you know, a lot of young players in this league that are after getting their chances. And it's not just one game. They're getting a good few games on the trot. Like there's Conor Boylan from Limerick. I'm trying to think lads off my head there now. Yeah. Dermot Ryan from Clare. Fantastic players. And have you know, probably wouldn't have got the chance that they're getting if the format was like it was last year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it goes back to the previous intensity next year. I guess that's all ahead of us.
So, I would predict it won't.
Would you? Why did you say that, Tom?
Well, because it's going to be Division One, Division One A and B kind of combined.
Yeah, so there won't be the same difference between One A and One B that there was over the last couple of years, I suppose.
Yeah, no, because you know, the likes of you know, in all respect to them, the likes of we'll say Laois and you know, I think possibly Carlow or Offaly, you know, they will be involved in it as well.
Yeah,
and you know, that will dilute, I suppose, if they're playing the likes of the All-Ireland champions in that. You know, and I know Carlo drew with Galway this year, but you'd imagine it won't have the same intensity as it did last year.
Yeah. I must say the neutral in me is going to miss it because the league, the hurling league has been absolutely brilliant over the last couple of years. But I do take your point that we're talking about amateur players and it's a long season and management probably do need some competition to at least blood some younger players. So you can't please everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So we touched on Cork Limerick there. Kilkenny and Tipperary, a 1-point win for Kilkenny in the end, 18 points to 17 points at Semple Stadium. Just a short clip here, Tommy, of Liam Sheedy. He was talking about it being a subpar Tipperary performance. Have a listen.
Look, just disappointing, but at the same time, we never really, I didn't feel we flowed today. You know, Kilkenny, you know, were able to get their hands on the ball easier, won a lot of aerial battles. We were fighting for possession, I thought. And, you know, at times, especially in that second half, you know, we found that 20-minute period where we played really, really well. But over the course of the game, we never really found our flow and left Kilkenny in, you know, missed some scores. Left a minute and, you know, did what they do best. They, you know, they hit us a knockout punch in the finish. But look, overall, you know, we've lost by a point for the second week in a row. You know, we were very, very close. And unfortunately, we've got to go back and just work through it again this week.
Yeah, Tipperary, 4 games in, just 2 points. Where are they, Tom?
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Tipperary, I suppose, at the moment. Like Liam Sheedy, if we take him first of all, like, he's coming back in. So everyone was expecting a huge burst from at the start. They got to the Munster League final versus Clare and got annihilated by Clare in the Munster League final. Then they came back first round of the league against Clare again in Thurles. Were brilliant on the day and won that comfortably in the end. And then went on, now I've had two losses. But if you look at them closely, against Limerick, there was only a few points in it, about 3 or 4 minutes to go. Roll on then to the next day, you know, against Wexford, Noah McGrath was sent off when they looked like they were going to win it, and they could have got a few frees at the end and could have won that game. So the way I look at Tipperary at the moment is, Joe, a lot of their main players are 29-30. They don't need to be flying it at this time of year, right? What I predict with Tipperary is that Liam Sheedy is after putting them through the mill in this winter. He's after training them and training them and training them. Yeah. So their fitness at the moment is, you know, up to the standards of the summer, I would imagine. But it's a heavy load because they've so many games week after week. That's with the National League. So this time last year, after they got beaten by Kilkenny, they went back in and played 3 or 4 club games. So the load was increased on them again, matches after matches after matches. And we all seen what happened to them in the Munster Championship. So what I would imagine will happen with this Tipperary team is they will go on now, and whatever happens in the end of the league, they will take kind of a break from all this fitness training. Eamon O'Shea is coming back in. They'll be doing a lot of forward play and a forward movement and creating space and all that. So I reckon these guys, the life will breed back into these guys coming up the Championship. Yeah. They will have all the heavy workload done, finished, and it'll all be about freshening them up. Why am I saying that then so confidently? Liam Sheedy, I've seen him so many times, both in work and both in sport. He came in and took over in 2008 with this Tipperary team. They had a great year. I think they won the league in 2008. They got to a semi-final against Waterford. Now, Waterford were coming. They're after losing a couple of semi-finals and really put it up to them physically, a young Tipperary team. And, you know, kind of half bullied them in that semi-final. Davy Fitz was after taking them over, and they got to that final, and deservedly so. 2009, then they played Kilkenny in the All-Ireland final, played brilliantly on the day, just unlucky enough to lose out. And 2010, we all know what they've done. So what am I saying about this? Liam Sheedy prepares teams to play brilliantly on the big day and when it's needed. And they always seem to do it. In work, he works in Bank of Ireland, like myself. He's, by all accounts, loved by everywhere he goes. Really gets the most out of the guys that work with him. The people that work with him love working with him. So he seems to be a very good man manager or people manager. So I think he is preparing these guys the best way he can. And I think we'll see the best out of this Tipperary team in the summer. Because they're all 29-30. It's freshness is what we'll need out of these guys.
Yeah, get the hard work done now. You almost preempted my next question. So you mentioned Eamon O'Shea's gone back in there, and the thoughts of O'Shea and Sheedy working with this group of players again will have Tipperary fans excited, I'm sure. We remember the brilliant forward play and the movement, and it was just fantastic for a couple of years when those two really had this group humming. Are you seeing any signs of that yet, or do you suspect that that's all ahead? Like, are you seeing the movement that you might have seen when Tipperary were at their very best when O'Shea and Sheedy were in there?
Well, they're playing a shorter game, definitely. They're not just launching every single ball, but they still have a good bit of work to do, and I'd imagine that's where Eamon O'Shea is going. Like, people would expect you to say, right, manager comes into the dressing room on Tuesday night, right, guys, we're not going long ball anymore. We're going around and we're going to go short ball played up through the channels. It's not as easy as that. It's so difficult when you're practicing something for 15, 20 years, getting the ball and driving it as far and as long as you can. Yeah. It's very hard to change that. So it takes time. And I would imagine Eamon O'Shea, the seeds are sown now. They know what they want to do. And I think Eamon O'Shea will come in. I seen an interview with Lara Corbett last week or the week before, and basically saying that Eamon O'Shea reckons that the forwards' time comes March and April. When the ground gets harder, that's when the forwards get going. When a back can catch you this time of year, he can hold on to you. But when the ball is zipping around, suddenly it's the forwards game again. And that's when Eamon O'Shea comes into his own. It's all about creating space with Eamon O'Shea. Now, the big question for Eamon O'Shea is, and the big challenge for him is, it's a different game than when he was here last. Yeah. In that time, 6 forwards bled and he just had a move in left, right and centre. Towards now, you know, there could be 2 midfielders back, 2 half forwards back. So I would imagine he's a clever man, think he's up in university up in Galway.
Yeah.
So he will study and study, and by all accounts, a great, great coach. So I would expect that they will get even better when he comes on board.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he comes up with, because it's not as easy to move defences around now. It's more congested. There are more players holding certain positions, but he'll be aware of that. He'll work something out, and that is going to be fascinating. As for Kilkenny, good win. Owen Murphy steps up to score the winning point. Not somebody we talk about too much, Owen Murphy, but he's such an invaluable part of that Kilkenny setup.
He is. And like, I grew up watching probably the golden era of goalkeepers. You're talking about FitzHenry, Don Logue, Brendan Cummins, Davy Fitz, like McGarry, like brilliant, brilliant goalkeepers that we, you know, never seen so many of them coming at the one time. And FitzHenry was the best I ever seen. And I played with him Railway Cup. I played with him, say, in the Jim Bulger cancer game every year. I don't know what age he is now, and he still looks like a guy who could play inter-county hurling. He's absolutely wonderful. Just reflexes, puck outs, short game, long game, everything.
Right.
I think this guy, Owen Murphy, he has the potential to put himself into that bracket with them guys and even go up and maybe join FitzHenry. Now, he's still early. It's still early in his career, but he's going about it the right way. Mm. He's brilliant at, what does a goalie have to do? Keep the ball out of the net. Brilliant at it. We all love goalies that are safe. First of all, safe. High ball comes in, low kind of ball coming in along the 21, maybe draw from midfield, rolling in, safe under that. So he's brilliant at all that, and he's a very good communicator. Mm. So he has all the potential to go on, in my view, and become, you know, one of the really, really greats. But still, very early in his career. But yeah, score two frees late in the game. We often see it in football, rarely see it in hurling. Mm. And definitely probably we'll see more of them taking them long-range frees going forward.
So what's the overall word in Kilkenny then? I'm sure you've seen them closely. Two wins, two losses, four games in. How are they looking?
Well, sure, we were despondent after the Limerick game. You know, after going so well for 33 minutes, to be precise, we were only a point down against a gale force wind against the champions who were playing out of their skin.
Yeah.
And suddenly then it all fell apart. And then you're wondering what's going on. So I think you know I love the traditional game. But I also know
do
that
you?
It's time to end.
You've never said that. You should have mentioned. You should have said before.
And but I do know you have to adapt or you'll be left behind.
Yeah.
So trying to look at and analyse it now, I think, where are we now? We're gone away from the short game. We're gone away from the long game. I think where hurling is at the moment is heads up hurling. You have to look up before you do anything. And you have to be comfortable. Go back to, you know, Johan Cruyff, like, be comfortable with the ball. You're defending when you're number 15, as well as, as a centre forward, he was talking about in the soccer, as well as being in the backs. Same with the hurling. So I think you have to be just so comfortable on the ball and know the right thing to do at the right time. Now, look at Limerick. We were all saying how great they were last week, and then they were doing sharp. Tom Condon came out with a sharp puck out the other day, conceded a goal to Cork, and Cork went on. It was kind of the winning score for them. So it's not all about beautiful hurling either. But I would say that when you're hitting the ball into your full forward line, the traditional way of doing it was your half back, spread it out, fast ball into the corners. You can't really do that now without looking anymore. Mm. And I did learn that from watching Limerick and Nolan Park. They looked up. If it was on, into Glan in the corner. If it wasn't, they went short. So going back to Kilkenny and the question you asked me, I thought it was very important when Richie Hogan came on with the last 15-20 minutes to go, and it was amazing. He was over underneath the Oireann stand, say the new stand, and had a ball, few lads around him, just looked up, sprayed the ball to the far side to the old stand, and we got a score out of it.
He is the very definition of a heads up hurler, isn't he?
As a heads up hurling. And I think if Kilkenny are to go on and say, bring on, I suppose, their chances of winning Leinster this year or winning in All Ireland, I think that will have to start from the half back line.
Mm. And are the players capable of it? Are there enough Richie Hogans? I know there aren't many Richie Hogans, but are there enough players in that Kilkenny side with the qualities you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I would compare, when you're talking about a team and do they have the chances of winning things, I compare them to the teams around them. Well, if I go through the Kilkenny players and compare them to, say, Limerick, who are the champions, Galway, who are the Leinster champions, Tip, Clare, Cork, absolutely. They have the ability to beat them guys, but they need to put it into practice. because it'll be too late to start this in the, you know, the first week of May or the second week of May when the Leinster round robin starts. They need to start it now. They'll go back training in Nolan Park in a couple of weeks' time, use it around Paddy's Day, and it's then they will have to really put it into practice so that they're right for championship.
Okay, but you're not quite seeing it yet, hence you're saying it needs to start now.
I saw glimpses of it last Sunday against Tipperary.
Yeah. What team are you enjoying watching the most this league campaign?
Say Tip, Cork, Clare. It has to be Limerick. It really does. It's just so beautiful to watch. Like, they're so comfortable either way. And like, whether they have to win, like, you know, when they play the Shark game as well, and this is one interesting point when you're looking at playing the Shark game. So they play a short ball to we'll say Tom Morrissey on the half hour line, right? The way tackling and the way the middle third is so, there's so many players in the middle third at the moment, you're going to be hit straight away, 2-3 players. Mm. But they have the strength. They have Hegarty, they have, say, Galan, they have Shane Dowland, and they have Tom Morrissey. When they get the ball, they have the strength to get away, even when they do the short game. Mm. And that's where maybe the teams with the smaller half-forwards and smaller midfielders might struggle. So I'm enjoying Limerick because they're playing the game the way it should be played. Just beautiful goals, points, absolutely everything. Like, look at Shane Dowland. Like, he's definitely not the fittest at the moment and probably will have to get fitter to make that Limerick team, I would imagine. But the skill levels of them. Mm. Like, when you're going down to the young lads in the field and trying to show them, you know, maybe players that and what they should be trying to be able to do. Like, Shane Dowland is just playing out of his skin at the moment by pure hurling. And, like, left, right, he's up the field, he's down the field. And, you know, I'm really enjoying them. Tom Condon, a few years ago, he looked a bit leggy. Looked like maybe he was on the way out. Mm. And came on in last year's All-Ireland final, won the last ball. And, you know, it could easily mean flicked into the back of the net, came out of it. We saw the video then of everyone jumping around the place. Well, Tom Condon is playing out of his skin. Yeah. And, you know, and that's a lesson to anyone coming, maybe 29, I'm not sure what age Tom Condon is at the moment, 29, maybe 30. Stay going. Graham Mulcahy, the very same. You know, he looked like his best years were behind him. Nearly got hurler of the year last year, back playing well again this year. So, yeah, really enjoying watching Limerick. And I think they've been great ambassadors, Joe, of the game. We love watching them. Like, in Kilkenny, I stayed back with Nathan to do an interview with him after the game. So most of the supporters were gone. There was about 10 of them doing 100-metre sprints. And again, there was all these Limerick supporters between 8 and, we'll say, 14 or 15, doing them with him. Mm. And you'd often see the trainer coming over, right, lads, just stand over, the steward, stand over there now, and you can talk to the lads when they're finished, and you can get autographs off. No, they let them off, and they didn't interrupt them. And it was beautiful to watch. And they really are a credit to the game. And, you know, for people that are trying to promote the game, what they say a child does what a child sees, and they have to be definitely brilliant champions, and champions that we as hurling people, even though we're not from Limerick, are proud of.
I saw the pictures. They were great. You have a bunch of players and a bunch of kids doing their sprints together, and the kids, you could tell the kids knew they were chancing their arm a little bit, but yours seemed to be okay, so we'll crack on, and it was great.
It was, and it's amazing, Joe, like, that them young lads, I'd love to take a photo of them young lads and see, will any of them play for Limerick in, say, 20 years' time? Yeah. They probably will. There'll probably be one or two of them.
Yeah, you'll probably see the photo in the paper, yeah. Sorry, you go on, you remember what? Yeah.
Like, I remember that when we were going to matches, one of the great things about going to a match was getting the hurling ball. Say, you know, don't want to say robbing the hurling ball, but sure, I suppose that's what we were doing. So you'd be there waiting behind, maybe your father be playing the match, and you're going and you have no hurling ball. You could come back with 5 or 6 hurling balls because, and it all depends on the strength of the umpire then as well, because you have to judge the umpires, Joe, because some of them, they'd be from hurling backgrounds and they let you off. And you go off and you get a hurling ball, you'd pretend, what you used to do is you'd pretend that you couldn't find it, but you'd kind of stamp it into the ground, and then when the umpire wouldn't be looking, you'd pick it up and off you go and you'd show all your friends. And but then the umpires would get cuter and they'd come looking for the hurling ball. So what we used to do then is one of the lads in the class came up with a great idea. You'd have an old hurling ball. So you'd bring an old hurling ball that wasn't any good anymore. It was bet probably 100 times or 1,000 times off the wall. And when the umpire come looking for the ball, you'd give him the old hurling ball, you'd go off to span new one, a Cork All-Star or a Newry ball.
Suddenly I feel like I know you a whole lot better. Suddenly these things are making a lot more sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
Listen, good man, stay away from the chocolate this evening. We'll talk to you again.
Great stuff, Joe. Thank you. GAA on Off the Ball.